KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes, along with my co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. Thanks for joining us this morning.
We're doing something a little bit different today, chatting here in your office amidst all the Fresno State decor. We got this big Fresno State logo with the Sierra Nevadas behind it, sort of a Mountain West theme going. If people want to check out what that looks like, if you've never been in Jim Bartko's office, check out our Twitter at 907KFSRSports. Lots to talk about today with all the students moving into the dorms this weekend, school getting ready to start on Monday. For student athletes, though, you know, they've been here a while. They're not just getting to campus this weekend, are they?
No, they're all welcome over to this side of campus and always welcome to have you guys here. Season starting, volleyball, soccer, and obviously football are on the way. And, you know, we got a couple more weeks for our opener football game. First soccer game was Friday. So we're in full gear, and it's kind of nice to have the activity going on around here. Kids back around, a little more activity for all of us to see. That's the fun part of our job.
Tell us a little bit about which sports are already in action right now with fall camps going, with practices going. You mentioned women's soccer had their first game already on Friday. Yep. So talk about that.
Obviously, our fall sports, obviously with volleyball, cross country is practicing their little getaway trip this weekend up Schaefer Lake. Obviously, football and soccer. Other sports will have a fall season, but golf, they'll start their season here once the kids are all back in town and others. But it's going full gear. It's never going to be boring. And you know, water polo and wrestling, you know, recruiting right now. And so it's getting time.
It's getting underway. And so water polo and wrestling, those aren't starting this year, but that'll be.
Wrestling signing day is November. But water polo, I think, is like right around football time, February-ish. So that'll be the first classes they'll sign.
And then you mentioned cross country as well. I saw they just made it higher. Talk about the new coach there.
So we lost two assistant coaches in cross country, but you know, one retired and one wife got a great job and left. So with the new ones coming in, you know, and obviously with a new track, it should be done here in the next couple of weeks. I think it gives our track team a little momentum to, you know, to not only recruit but show our commitment to the program.
Seems like a lot's going on, you know, with pretty much every sport across the board. Is that sort of a good sign?
Yeah, you know, I think at some point you want to kind of build it up to where you have it built and you're not always trying to catch up. And I think over the last year, year and a half, we've kind of caught up a little bit on some of our facilities. We got, you know, the plan for the stadium. Fundraising is really doing really well on that, and we'll have the architect on board. We've gone through the process. I think they're getting ready to make the public selection of who the firm will be. But there's a lot of things we have to do, and it's an ever-changing world of college athletics nowadays.
What's sort of the most fun you've had so far since you've been here? Is there a certain project or something that brought the biggest smile to your face?
I think when we did the five-point plan, obviously that day, it kind of giving some stability to our program and what we're going to do. Seeing some of our sport programs, the tennis courts and the soccer lacrosse fields being done in the locker rooms to make sure they're uptaken. Obviously getting the first lead gift for the stadium makes that process come to fruition. And so every day there's something positive. You see kids that are happy when kids graduate and they're crying and they're 10 years over. It's always kind of, you know, nice to see them make it through their 4 or 5 years here and be done competing and also academically. And then there's certain days you lay in bed at night going, man, whether a kid gets hurt or injured, or you always feel bad for those type of things happen.
For you personally, I mean, was summer a time to kind of regroup and catch up and do some fun personal stuff?
I think this is a unique summer. I told our senior staff that too. I said, you know, July kind of is usually the month we take some time off a little bit, take 2 or 3 weeks and get refreshed. But, you know, we had the hires due for the water polo. We had softball that we had to get hired. We had, you know, wrestling was doing the assistant coaches hires. Then we had the two track coaches leave. Then we obviously had Shane Gamma had the issue with the heat stroke, put a scare to all of us. That cut my vacation probably in half. I had to get back for him for that and just to be here for the family. And it is a time normally, but nowadays in athletics, you've got to take it when you can because there's not much. It goes pretty much now through end of June and it starts in August. So you really have July to catch up a little bit, take some family time.
Where'd you get to go for vacation?
I went back up to Oregon. My parents are up there, my family, my wife's parents are up there, and we've got a cabin, a little resort up in the mountains up in Bend area. So it's been about 10 days up there.
Good. Enjoy some of those microbrews up there.
A little cool. I don't do microbrews, but a little cooler. A little cooler. It was 75, and it actually rained a few times. I was like, man, this feels kind of good. You know, I missed the 108 weeks here when I was gone, so it was kind of nice to get a little cooler for a little bit.
For sure. You don't see a lot of rain around unfortunately. But so it's a nice change of scenery.
I used to get tired of it, and I was like, yeah, wouldn't mind a little rain shower every day here. So every morning for 15, 20 minutes, get a little sprinkle, get the air cleaned out and the pollen down. And
one of the things you didn't mention yet that happened this summer, the pretty busy time on the national scene, is all this talk with Big 12 expansion and conference expansion again. Yeah. What's Fresno State's stance on all this movement?
Great question. I think that whole thing is kind of a mess. We have 24 teams. You know, the odds are they're not going to select any of them. When I talked to the president about this, 2 years ago, you know, he said, what do you think on that? I said, we've got to start competing in the Mountain West. We got to get our facilities where we need to get to them. We got to position our budget the right way. And when the time is right, we'll be in position to do it. And our stadium needs to work. We're in the middle of fundraising. I'm not going to spend 3 months lobbying to something that no one knows what's going on. And it's a circus right now. So the time will come. Fresno State, I did a whole stat sheet and I talked to a bunch of the ADs and then the Big 12 and just to get an idea. We're very fortunate with our commissioner, Craig Thompson. We have a great conference. And it gets frustrating to see all these schools in the conference, you know, just putting their names in the hat saying Fresno leads in attendance, biggest TV market of all the schools in the Mountain West. If you add Sacramento down to Bakersfield and around, we're 11th in the country. So if anybody deserves to be in the talk, we do. Boise, I can see them being in discussion just because of their success in football, but their fan base doesn't show up. But the time's got to be right. And we have to be ready when that jump is ever made, which I think down the road there's going to be a lot of change in college athletics. This is going to be a short-term, either one or two teams or zero, but in 3 or 4 years, it could be massive changes in college athletics. We need to be ready when that change comes, that we're in position to succeed, and we need to dominate our programs right now. We need to get our fans something to cheer for, and which I think we are, and we need to get Bulldog Stadium fixed so it's ready for that next level. But right now, we're a proud member of the Mountain West. I think all of our schools in this conference ought to be doing that stance because I think this is kind of more of a sideshow.
So correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you're saying, you know, for people out there who are wondering, who are asking, who are emailing in or, you know, posting on social media, Fresno State's staying put for now. In the future, absolutely. You know, we want to position ourselves to be in the best position
again,
possible.
My first press conference, you were probably there. When I got asked that question. I get asked all the time, when are we going to the Big 12, Pac 12? I said, you know what? We need to dominate the Mountain West first. We got to get our facilities up correctly. We got to get our budget up correctly. We got one marketing director. We have two ticket office people. If you're going to make that jump to a $100 million budget, you better get your things in order or you're going to fail when you get there. We'll know when the time is right. And people that are just putting their names out there that have no chance, I think it hurts that institution and it hurts the conference.
What does it say when you see, you know, a school like the University of Houston, who's done a bunch of work to their facilities, you know, they've kind of completed renovation to their football stadium. Does that sort of show with commitment where Fresno State can be at?
No question. Whether it's the Big 12, it could be the Pac-16 in 4 years. It could be the Big 16. You could have 5 major conferences with 20 teams in it. We need to be prepared for that. And right now, our stadium is not up to par. From the press box, to the suites, to the foundation, to fan experience, to, you know, it's a great old stadium, but it needs some work, and we'll have that thing done. Then we'll be in a position. I think that's the president and I are on the same page. We've got to take it step by step, and Fresno deserves to be in the talk with all those 20 schools. But the odds of any of those 20 schools getting in are slim to none, and we've got bigger things to worry about right now than to start lobbying for something that's probably not going to happen.
You know, as someone who's been in Fresno for a long time, was here all during Pat Hill's tenure, the previous coaching staff. It's funny to look back and see. I remember when Pat Hill first started, he said, you know, one day there's going to be 4 super conferences with 16 teams or 20 teams. And now it looks like that could actually become
a reality. I think
that's
where it's going. And I think it's probably 5 years away. It's all driven by TV. I mean, TV dictates what they do, and Big 12 is not going to add teams if the schools they bring in aren't going to add revenue to the ESPN contract. Why would you be a school like Texas if it's going to be the same money? Why would you want to split it 12 ways when you can split it 10 ways? It's just not going to happen. Bob Bowlesby is a phenomenal commissioner. He's AD at Stanford. You know, I've known him for a long time. I have huge respect for him and what he's going through, and I know it's tough when you start making such a public deal, and it's just like a free-for-all right now. But the presidents and the TV and Bob will make the right decision. But I know in talking with them how highly they all think of Fresno State in the Valley. And when it comes time that we're ready to move on or we have a legit chance to do it the right way, we'll do it. But right now, we got to stick to our conference. We got to stick to our commissioner. So we're in the middle of TV negotiations. We're in the middle of a lot of stuff nationally. And when you have schools just throwing their name out there trying to, you know, the odds are they're going to stay back east. The odds are they do nothing. If I had a wager, I think they'll stay at 10. And then all this work they're putting into it, it's probably not worth it.
You know, for Fresno State, obviously, you got to compete in the Mountain West. That's priority number one, it sounds like, to have all the sports across the board competing for championships there. But on a national level, is that a goal as well, to compete at a national level?
Well, yeah.
Is that always going to be the case here?
No, I think it's, when we talk to our coaches, a couple of things. Every year we want to compete for our championships in our league. And I mean, some softball last year, very lucky with softball, baseball, you know, women's tennis won the league, men's basketball won the conference championship, women's basketball was 1.9 seconds away from winning the conference championship in the tournament. So our goal is every one of those teams compete. Obviously, you need football and basketball, need to carry the load financially. And, you know, I think with the stadium expansion, we have the new coaching staff and what we have going on, I think Tim's the right person. And I think we're going to have a great season this year, and that'll just kind of go to it. And I think in 2 years, when the stadium gets done and college athletics kind of settles down and we figure out what's really happening in realignment, Fresno will be positioned, and we're not going to be looked at like we're just lobbying for anything, everything, and everywhere. We're going to do what's right for us, and we'll try for the conferences and do it the right way. But also be loyal to a conference that's been very good to us.
I think it's interesting to take a step back sometimes and kind of look at, you know, an even broader scope beyond just winning on the field. And earlier this week, we heard Fresno State President Joseph Castro give his fall introductory speech to faculty and staff. I know you were there. I was on hand. And, you know, he talked a lot about academics and athletics rising together, that whole focus. He mentioned Fresno State set records for its number of Mountain West scholar athletes and all academic honorees. Tell us about those accolades and what the athletic department is doing to emphasize the student part of student athletes.
Well, I mean, again, you know, I say a lot, it probably kind of gets redundant, but you have about 1% of your athletes go pro, whether it's baseball or basketball or football. The rest hopefully get their degrees and have a job. So we've got a great academic staff. You know, Steve Robitello heads up the compliance academic side, Eric Coleman, a lot of other people. We try to put a lot of emphasis on the whole student, from life skills to everything else that they need to have. And all of our teams, I think we had a 3.2 combined GPA average for all of our sports, which is phenomenal when you think about that. Because you'll have some that are the 2.3s, but when you're averaging 3.2 amongst 400 athletes, it's not a bad GPA.
Strong.
And so it shows that we take it seriously. You're going to have ups and downs or some bad terms here, bad terms there, but we've been on the uptick, and that's something that the president really wants us to push, and it's the right thing. They are student athletes, even though nowadays sometimes you get in, they're pro, you know, they're being taken advantage of, but I think they're getting the cost of tuition, which we're doing, they're getting a full free scholarship, they're getting a lot of great experiences, so I think they're well taken care of.
I think it's interesting to look at too, you know, you don't just admit someone to school, a student athlete to school with so much time constraints and responsibilities, and just have them excel in the classroom automatically. It takes a lot of work on the athletic department's part, right, to provide, you know, the support staff and all the different services and programs.
Yeah, it does, and we have a great relationship with the campus. They help. We try to find the right majors for our students so that they can succeed. The testing scores that come in, we make sure that they have the ability to don't get in over their heads. We try to have kids go to summer school to get a few credits ahead because it's hard sometimes to take 16, 18 units when you're in the middle of your season, traveling a lot. So we try to help them. I think ultimately it's up to the kids to take advantage of the resources they have, whether it's here or on campus. But there's also the minimums that the NCAA has that you have to, you know, continue to be on each year. You have to be have enough credits to be on pace to graduate. If not, you're not eligible. So there's things that the student athlete has to have, and we let them know, hey, you need 12 credits this term and two in your major, or you're not going to be eligible. And sometimes it happens where they don't get it, and then you see some kids sitting out for a term. So
yeah, never want that. And, you know, kind of along those lines, fans out there might be starting to see the university's new TV commercial that's airing now. I've seen it on ESPN. It was on during the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. I think that's something to be proud of. And then it's been on during some Raiders preseason football games. That whole concept is connecting the community to what Bulldog football really means to the Valley. Wins are certainly a pride point for us all, but, you know, beyond that, every ticket you buy supports a student athlete at Fresno State in all the sports, and those student athletes are excelling at a record pace, you know, in the classroom, going out and working alongside all of us in the community. Talk about just that connection. Do you think fans sometimes don't really think about how it all fits into the whole?
Yeah, I think there's something in their minds, and again, it's in all our minds. We all want to win. I'm not going to shy away from saying that, you know, commercials can be great, but if you're 1-10, or, you know, your last place in basketball, commercials don't work too well. I mean, you want to have success both. But I think what we're trying to do is show that academics and athletics are together. And the campaign shows that a lot of our student athletes stay here in the Valley to work that aren't going pro. And you can see a lot of them around town here. Thiessen Duker, Kevin Sweeney, those guys, they're still here. And they're supporting the Valley, going to football games, going to games. Obviously, we know our fans expect us to win. We know our fans. We're not sitting there saying, hey, come to our games. If we win, we win. We lose, we lose. We're going to win every game. But on top of that, by coming to the game, you are supporting all 21 of our sports and our programs and our kids' degrees.
It's a pretty incredible stat we hear about on the commercial. 80% of Fresno State graduates stay right here and work in the Valley. Yeah. I mean, that really shows how much of an economic engine or generator that this university is for the community. How are ticket sales going for football?
Ticket sales are
going
great. I mean, again, anytime you – a couple of things this year that probably hurt us a little – ticket sales will be fine. Well, you know, we've been in the top two or three in the Mountain West for the last 10 years, and we'll be there again this year. Whenever you come off a 3-9 season, it's always a little slower. You know, people are the stadium. You know, I'm having a lot of people that just say, hey, I'm getting up there in age, and it's just too hard to get up and down the stairs. And then we don't have a big home game. You know, Tulsa would be a great game, but we don't have the Nebraskas of the world or the Utah last year that did a great draw. That'll bring a lot of fans early. So we'll work on that in the future, but we'll be up there. We'll compete. And if we have to a good start, our crowds will be there. Our fans are very loyal, so they'll be out there.
And that Tulsa game you mentioned now, the second home game of the year, got moved up a little earlier. Some guy named Garth Brooks is coming, I guess.
Well, Ted, that might have been one of my most down weeks I've had, because when I moved that game, we weren't allowed to say anything. I mean, because the promoter decides when it's released. So I changed the game, and everybody kept saying, that dumb AD, Jim Barco. And my opinion on that is, we were asked by campus that this is a huge thing for the Fresno, and he wasn't going to come if we had the night game, because he wasn't going to compete. Fresno in this area cannot compete with a huge concert and a huge football game, with parking lots being the same. And so we knew we couldn't do it at the same time. Their promoter kind of dictates the shows. I think they're doing two shows that night, like a 7 o'clock show and an 11 o'clock show. So what we felt that if we said no, we're keeping the game at 7 o'clock and they lost the concert, what that would mean to the local economy of Fresno with restaurants and hotels and food and gas, we can move our game to 1:30. For all the campus does for us, for all the president and his cabin does for us, I think us and the fans can, you know, I heard some people say, well, it's going to be 90 degrees that day. Well, Michigan's first four games at home were at 1 o'clock in Ann Arbor. And that's 95 degrees and about 100% humidity. So our fans need to understand, you know, we don't dictate all the times. This one, we did move, but we did it for the betterment of the community and the university.
It's funny because, you know, some of my friends, their first thought was, oh, we get to do a morning tailgate now, and it's going to be even cooler than the tailgate would have been if we were tailgating during the hottest part of the day before a night game. Yeah. So, you know, there's different ways of looking at that, but hopefully it'll be decent weather. And
yeah, it's the end of September, so it's not going to be as hot as August 31st. And Garth's from Oklahoma, so I'm not sure if he went to Tulsa, but I think he's from Tulsa.
I think he's actually from Tulsa, yeah. Maybe so he'll show up at the end.
Yeah, maybe he'll do the national anthem.
That'd be a neat treat for everyone who comes out. Talk about, obviously, football's underway with fall camp. Have you had much of a chance to go out there, check out the football practices or soccer, volleyball? How's everyone looking?
I have not been to soccer or volleyball yet. I was at the game Friday night, our first game.
For soccer.
For soccer. So I was there after 30-some years in the business, sitting out for 3 hours watching a football practice. Gets a little old, but you got a busy schedule. Now, I saw the scrimmage last week. Been out to maybe a handful of practices, but I got there just to make sure the coaches know I'm out there, but I don't do it on a regular basis. I know the atmosphere, the enthusiasm on the coaching staff, you can see the change. You really can. And I think our fans will see the change. I know our players have. So I think it's going to be positive, and we'll just see if we have enough depth. Obviously, making the change of football coaches in mid-January, you don't have a lot of time to recruit when it's February 1st, the signing day. So, and then we've had some injuries. We've had some dinged up running backs. We're a little thin in some areas. If we can stay healthy, I think we'll compete for championship. You know, we can get through it. And then if not, next year we're going to be better. So our recruiting right now is going great, and we're very lucky to have our staff we have.
Internationally, we've had some fun this summer with the Olympics going on right now, about to wrap up. Do you have a favorite Olympic sport that you like to watch?
Well, I'm a little biased. I love track and field just because, you know, my time in Oregon, we had the Olympic trials there 4 times. So you get to see all the athletes, you know, the Felixes and the Gatlins and the Ashton Eatons competing to go to the Olympics and being involved in that in Oregon. I watched those events knowing that I know, not personally know, but I've seen and met most of those athletes that are running. And a lot of them, I think there's 21 of the athletes in the Olympics that went to Oregon.
Yeah, so, Jenna Prandina from Clovis.
So I'm a little biased at that. You know, swimming's fun to watch and track and field and other stuff. I love basketball, obviously, but, you know, never that good at games. But this year, they've had some tight ones. But
a few close calls. And, of course, we got our Bulldog alum, Paul George, one of the stars on that USA team.
We're fortunate to have a lot of our former athletes at Trent Dilfer, to the Cars, to Lorenzo Neal, to Kevin Sweeney, and the rest that are very loyal Bulldogs and will help us get to where we're getting to.
It was neat, you know, we got the chance to go up to Oakland for Team USA's basketball exhibition a few weeks ago when Paul George was playing, and talking to him after the game, you know, he was obviously honored to represent his country in the Olympics on that big of a stage. But at the same time, it was neat to hear him talk about the job that Fresno State men's basketball team's done, getting back to the NCAA tournament, and just, you know, he said it made him so proud to see his alma mater back in the big dance, the job that Rodney Terry's doing. Looks like they're heading in a positive direction.
Yeah, Rodney's a great guy, and, you know, we're looking at his contract to make sure we can keep him and give him what he deserves, and hopefully in the next few weeks that can be wrapped up. And we signed Jamie to an extension and long-term contract. And the good thing is we have coaches here that are good, that want to be here, and they're competing. And if they're competing, we're going to reward them with longevity. And obviously if somebody comes along and, like, you know, obviously we lost our softball coach to Arizona State. He's got a great program, and very lucky to get Linda Garza to come here, who's from a Fresno local high school and resident. we're going to keep going. And if we lose somebody, we'll get a great hire. And I think our three hires, using a baseball term, were grand slams. I think our wrestling coach is phenomenal. Our water polo coach, Natalie, she'll do a phenomenal job. I mean, probably the best water polo ever to play college water polo, and, you know, Olympic athlete of the year. And then obviously with Linda in softball, I think we got a little spark plug there.
Yeah, it's a big time of transition for those sports, obviously. I thought it was neat hearing Linda Garza's press conference. You talked about her being local from Hoover High School here. She seemed passionate about the Bulldogs.
Yep. And that's what you want.
And you knew it was genuine she was talking.
When you find somebody that has a lifelong dream to be the coach of Fresno State, I mean, and we don't just hire somebody because they're from Fresno. You hire the best candidate. And Linda was the best candidate that we had for the job. Having her from Fresno and having the passion for Fresno makes you even more special.
Do you feel like when you can articulate that passion the way that she does, does that make you a great recruiter? Is that one of the things that goes into it?
I think it does. I mean, I think recruiting is all passion, selling the school in a positive way. I mean, some coaches are, you know, I'm sure Lou Saban's not a rah-rah guy, but when you're recruiting to Alabama football, it's a little easier to, you know, because you probably get whoever you want. Chip Kelly wasn't a rah-rah guy at Oregon, but he had won, and so he had a good reputation, so... I think having that spirit and that fire, enthusiasm will be contagious for not just her, but for all of our coaches. I mean, when you're in a head coach's meeting, you see her talk. Then you have Joe Bernardi on our football staff, who's Mr. Energetic. You have people like that on your staffs that are, and we have many more. I don't want to leave somebody out. But they have that passion, the fire, and the care that wants to be here, and we're very lucky.
We're here with Fresno State tight ends coach Joe Bernardi. I saw you running a few sprints with the guys. So talk about that mentality and what that does for the
team. Well, I don't know if it does anything for the team, but, you know, I want the guys to know we're all in this thing together. And it's not the coaches and then the players. It's us. It's our offense. So that, and I got to get back in shape. So,
how much different is it being out here with the tight ends as opposed to when you were here as a player playing on the offensive line?
It's different. I always kind of peek down every once in a while, see what Drills Webb's doing and what's going on one-on-one pass rush. But it's great. It's been a lot of great learning. Coach Keesaw has been awesome, and Coach Toller has been awesome, and learning the passing game, and Coach Unger being a part of special teams. You know, offensive linemen aren't really involved in a lot of special teams. So I've got an opportunity to learn so much football in a short amount of time, which has been great. And my dad coached tight ends for a long time at Tennessee and Oregon. I worked with the tight ends a lot. So it's not completely foreign.
You pass the hitting part of the game now, or you ever get the itch to get out there and participate?
I get the itch, but then once I see guys like James Bailey and KK, and I go the other way in a hurry. I retired the second I was done playing, so you don't got to worry about me putting any helmet on.
Talk about your tight end group. It seems like there's a lot more attention being placed on that within this offense. How much of a weapon do you expect those guys to be as far as the passing game and the blocking?
Well, we talk about in our room four things. We want to be selfless, which means that we're going to do whatever is best for the team. If we got to run block 50 times a game and maybe get one ball thrown to us, we're going to do that. We want to be violent run blockers. Okay, at Fresno State, there's a great history of running the football, and we want to be a big part of that. So we're going to be violent run blockers. Okay, we want to be dependable pass catchers. So if there's a ball thrown our way, we got to make a play. Whether it's third and one or it's a deep ball down the middle, okay, we got to make a play. And the last thing, okay, we want to be consistent playmakers. So, you know, consistent playmakers better be, you know, springing a block downfield for a touchdown, catching a ball on third and short, keeping your feet in bounds, getting violent into the boundary, breaking a tackle, okay? We want to be able to be good at everything, not just okay at some things and really good at one thing. You know, we want to be consistent across the board.
Do you have the guys split into, you know, your blocking tight ends and your pass catching tight ends, or is everyone responsible for doing everything?
Everybody's responsible for doing everything. Obviously, there's certain situations where you want one guy, maybe he has a special skill set, so he might be better at one thing than another, but the objective is to have everybody know everything.
When you're talking about those skill sets, obviously we've seen Chad Olson. He's the guy a lot of the fans are most familiar with, being out here catching passes the past couple of years. Talk about the development you've seen from him so far.
Chad's been awesome. I didn't know this when I first got here. Chad Olson's played more football than anybody on the team on offense. So that's great. And, you know, he's taken that role and run with it a little bit. His development from spring to now has been awesome. You know, he worked his tail off in the weight room this summer. He's in great shape right now. But he is more of a natural receiver than blocker, so to speak. And he's really worked hard at his fundamentals. And he's playing with a chip on his shoulder right now. It's great to see.
We saw him make a couple big catches yesterday. Talk about using him as a downfield weapon.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can get tight end to stretch the field, that's awesome, you know, because it takes a little bit of heat off the receivers. You know, you can disguise the back. There's a lot of good things a good vertical tight end can do. So having Chad be able to do those things is going to be really crucial for us this year.
Then you got a couple of younger guys with Rojas and Coleman. What's their role this year? Do you see them redshirting, or is it too early to say?
I think it's too early to say. They're both coming along great. I think they're going to be really, really good players, and the fans should remember those names, obviously. They both have different skill sets. Johnny was more of a defensive lineman. lineman in high school, but I think he's going to be a great player for the years to come, and Dante's a very unique talent. So really excited about their roles, and we'll see how things shape out. There's no depth chart today, so there's a little bit of rotation, but there's still no depth chart.
What's the biggest difference is being here now as a coach in this new system that you guys are running compared to what you played in?
Yeah, it's different to say the least. I tell people the story about when we played UCLA and we got the ball with 8 minutes and 55 seconds left, and we ran the ball, I think it was 17 play drive, and we ran it 14 times to take a knee on the three. And people are like, you gotta be kidding me. So it's a little bit different, but it's fun. You know, the fans are gonna enjoy the offense, and you know, we're gonna try to execute at a very high level.
Does it change the way you approach coaching those guys at all?
Absolutely not. You know, football is football. You know, the scheme might be a little different, but ball is ball. And once you get between the white lines, if you're not tough, you got to be ready to roll every day.
Sounds like the guys were saying that's one of the things you've brought, you know, is sort of that physical blocking mentality that they might not have had as much emphasis on before. Is that something that you feel like you're stressing to them?
Yeah, well, I mean, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, we got to be good at everything. You know, if we're going to run the football, which we want to do, you know, we got to be involved. We got to be good at our job. You know, you can't be a Swiss Army knife. You got to be able to do a lot of things.
Talk about recruiting the Valley and how important that is.
It's one of the most important things we do. If you play high school football and you're from Sacramento to Bakersfield, there's only one school that you should go to. And you should grow up from birth wearing red, period.
End of story.
You got it.
Joe Bernardi, thanks for being with us today.
Got it.
Yep.
Take care, guys.
We're here with tight end Chad Olson. You guys got Joe Bernardi, obviously, on your coaching staff now, leading the tight ends. Is it impossible not to be excited with him leading the charge?
It really is. Yeah, you know the guys. He's just super passionate, really down to earth, really a player's coach, and it just makes me love the game that much more. You know, I'll do anything for that guy. He's just awesome.
You guys have more hands-on one-on-one attention to the tight ends with him on the staff?
Absolutely. My first 2 years here, it was a lot of inside receivers, and then tight ends were kind of the secondary thing. And now with an actual tight ends coach, being able to focus on, you know, the simplest fundamentals that we didn't get to learn before, you know, like a first step on a block or something like that, it's really just helping us up our game.
Obviously, you're one of the strongest pass catching tight ends on the roster. Bernardi, being a former offensive lineman at Fresno State, is that what he adds a lot of technique and fundamentals to, is the blocking aspect of playing tight end?
Definitely. And he made that point very clear whenever he first got here that we were going to be running the ball. And I've been loving it since day one. You know, I've never really had to fulfill that run blocking tight end job before, but you know, I was excited to do it. I bumped my weight up to about 242 right now, and I'm just so much stronger than last season. I'm just excited to be able to help this offense in any way possible.
Does it feel like the tight ends are more of a focal point for the offense now?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we don't just have three tight ends sitting out there anymore. You know, we got seven tight ends now, each one of them different than the other. You know, we can use them in different situations, and I really think that's going to be deadly as we get into the season.
Talk about what those other tight ends offer that kind of complement one another.
Sure. Well, I mean, Kyle Rittering, you know, he's been a great run blocker since we got here. He's just big and strong and meaty, and that's just always been his part of the game. David Tongapah, he can definitely fulfill both sides. You know, he's really good. He's thinned out a little bit now, so he's able to run a little bit better, but he's always been a great blocker too. Now we got Johnny Rojas and Dante Coleman, two young bucks, but I really feel like Dante's going to be able to fit in really well with the blocking aspect of it, kind of more of that fullback job. And then Johnny's going to be a great receiver. You know, he's long, lanky, and just, you know, whatever we're going to need to throw them in there, I feel like everybody's just excited to help in any way that they can.
And then we haven't even talked about Jared Rice yet. He almost looks like a receiver out there. Talk about his ability.
That's the thing too. He's just been getting bigger and faster and stronger, and I really feel like he's going to be able to block so much better this year. You know, we saw a little bit from him last year, but going into this year, I know he's put on some weight. He's went up in numbers a lot in the weight room, and so I'm really excited to see how he starts moving, starts blocking.
How do you feel like the quarterbacks are coming along?
I love them all. I mean, I've caught from all of them. I think they're all great. You know, guys keep asking me, you know, who do I think is going to start or who do I like more and all that stuff, but at least from my side, they all put the ball exactly where it needs to be, and that tends to be right in my hands, so they make my job pretty easy.
You hear sometimes, you know, if there's like a right-handed and a left-handed quarterback, that ball comes out differently, but with these guys, you don't have anyone left-handed, but are there differences to the way the ball's coming into you?
Sometimes. I mean, Chasen definitely can put a little bit more finesse on the ball. Zach Klein's got, you know, a rocket of an arm, but they both can make both types of throws, so I don't really focus on one more than the other.
Talk about that first game in Nebraska and just what you guys are going to have to do to come out with a W in that one.
We just got to stick to our fundamentals. You know, as long as we play the football that we know how to play, you know, just tough, physical, hard-nosed football, I think we're going to be just fine.
Chad Olson, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks again to our guests, Fresno State tight end Chad Olson and tight ends coach Joe Bernardi. And of course, Fresno State Director of Athletics Jim Bartko, our co-host, and Sports Report producer Kevin Kirsten. Thank you for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSRSports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.